Now, we're going to be sharing ministry. Peggy is sharing tonight and tomorrow morning. And God bless you, young lady.
Thank you. I'll use this one. This one's fine? Okay. Father, I just ask that you'll bless tonight, that we can have fun, and yet we can take something home with us, Lord. Something from your word that will minister to each and every one of us. You're a good and gracious and kind God, and we thank you, Lord, for ministering through us tonight. In Jesus' name. Okay. Let's see if we can keep this going here. Okay. All right. This is a definition of a missionary. It's someone who leaves their family for a short time so that others may be with their families for eternity. Isn't that beautiful? I have no regrets. I've missed my family. While I was on the field, my first year, we lost 8 family members. I have them for eternity. But I am thankful for the many families over there that are going to spend eternity with their families. Hallelujah. For me, my missionary call was in March 1966. I clearly, so clearly remember that night. I was 16 years old when I heard God's call. I got married, and 5 years later, I was on the mission field. God called us to a place called Rhodesia. I have lived in 3 countries without ever moving. It was Rhodesia, then Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, and then it was called Zimbabwe. And I'm not here to just talk about Zimbabwe or the country, but I will mention this, that we went through those war days when 39 missionaries were killed. The one missionary family that was brutally murdered was with us 2 weeks before they met their death. Our son Brian was held captive by terrorists in a nursery school with other children when he was a preschooler. We've had many robberies, more robberies than I can even remember, but we've had great loss in those robberies. But the one that was very unsettling is when they came into our home with guns. But God is good and protected us and faithful to this. But after saying all these things, I can honestly say that in spite of the many challenges that we face in the 48 years of being in Zimbabwe, that going to the field and staying on the field, even through the war days, which had lots of challenges, but preparing to leave the field has great emotional challenges. You see, leaving is departing, and departing is like a death. I hope you're following me, because with death comes mourning, and I've only been here 2 months, and I'm going through mourning. It's true. I know I am. And so you just bear with me sometimes when I miss the place where I have spent so much of my life. And then, although I've seen the really awesome hand of God, how he brought us out and all the things he did in the last 6 months that we were there was absolutely awesome. There are times when truly I miss, not Zimbabwe, I do not miss the country, but I miss the people. I miss the place where it became my culture and my way of living for such a long time. So I recognize that I am in transition. Personally, I believe that we are all missionaries. I believe that with all my heart. So whether we are pastors or Bible teachers or Sunday school teachers, wives, husbands, teenagers, and even young children, and I'm not going to keep you late because I know we're running a bit late, But I just want to tell you this, because you know my daughter, Joy. She was about 7 or 8 years old, and she's in Zimbabwe now. But she was 7 or 8 years old, and she said, Mom, I'd like to invite Justine to come and spend the night with me, because I want to share the gospel with her. So Justine came to our house, and she spent the night with us. And Joy told me the next day what happened. She said, Mom, I shared with her about Jesus dying on the cross, and I asked her if she wouldn't like to say a prayer and ask Jesus into her heart. And she said she wanted to do that. And she said, you know what, Mom? When I started to pray with her, I suddenly realized I had never, ever done that myself. And so that's when I did it, too. My Joy is on the mission field right now. I miss her greatly, and her husband and 3 grandchildren. They are on a project where they are trying to set up a place where they can show the African people how that they, on a very small piece of property, by raising chickens, you have the manure. With the manure, you put it on the plants. With the plants, you do this, et cetera, to know how to be self-supporting. Look, they're going through a difficult time. They are pioneering, but they are survivors, and they will make it. As we say on that back wall there, when we leave this building, we are, every one of us in this room, entering the mission field. So don't shortchange yourself. You are a missionary. In the context of being sent, we are familiar with this scripture. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the best tidings we bring is Jesus. I know some really great missionaries. Honestly, I do. And one of them was Philip List. I don't know if any of you know Philip List. He was a missionary in Zimbabwe, and he then eventually went to Kenya. Great missionary, now home with the Lord Jesus. But Lister had the opportunity when he was in Zimbabwe to be with Philip List. But Philip said this to the other men. He said, listen, I want you to get to bed early, because when I come to bed, I have to tell you guys, I snore. And he said, so I want you to go to bed and be asleep before I come to bed. So Lester did just that. He went to bed. He got in bed. Philip came to bed later, and then he snored, and Lester said it was like a Boeing 707 coming through that room, and he said his bed shook. And just as much as he snored, that man could preach Jesus, and he has many souls to his account. I also know some leaders that have stinky feet. Now, I could tell you a story, but I'm not going to tell you my story. I'm going to tell you Lester's story. He said when he was a first-year Bible school student here in Pennsylvania at Northeastern Bible College, it was called then, he said he would study in the library. And this young girl studying for the ministry, she would also come in the library and she would study. And Lester said when she would come and sit near him, she would kick off her shoes. And he said, Peg, when she kicked off those shoes, there was no way I can concentrate on anything else because her feet really stank. You see, but he said she really loves the Lord. And he'd tell me about this. And I know that somewhere, someplace, that woman has been serving God and preaching the gospel, even with stinky feet. Now, how does Jesus view her feet? How does Jesus view our feet? I wonder if Jesus would come in here. And he did this. Honestly, honestly, how would you and I feel? I know what he said to Peter. I know what Peter said to him. I know what Jesus said back to Peter. And I know we'd say, okay, then wash me all over. But if he really walked in here and he knelt in front of you, how would you really feel? You would say, Lord, I should be washing your feet, not you washing mine. Yeah. We understand. So I want the missionaries to please stand, and I want the leaders, anybody here that's in leadership, would you please stand, but don't take your shoes off. Just stand, okay? All you leaders, missionaries that have gone out, and leaders, in the anybody here, please. Music leaders, you are leaders. You are leading in this ministry. Okay. Okay. This is what the Lord says about your feet. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're truly beautiful. Brother Mel, Sister Anna, you have beautiful feet. We love your feet. Thank you for letting God send you for 50-some years to the mission field. Thank you. Pam Singer's not here. She's got beautiful, beautiful feet. Pastor Mel, you have beautiful feet. Brother Luke, you have beautiful feet. All of you, you have beautiful feet. And I personally want to thank you for being willing to be leaders and let God use you and be sent to wherever he has placed you, home and abroad. Thank you. You may be seated. God not only uses us missionaries and leaders to tell who he is, but his phenomenal love says this. There we go. In the Amplified Bible, for ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. That is not an excuse for us to say, well, God's done it, hasn't he? He's letting his glory be shown through creation, and so we don't have to. No. What this scripture says to me is an incredible, phenomenal love that God has so desperately for the world to know about him. You see, that tremendous love of God has already laid the foundation for us as missionaries. You know, here in America, perhaps we don't take note of creation as much as places do in places of dark Africa or dark India or dark wherever. But how many of you, and I know it was dark, have you seen the tree out here? Did you see it in the light? Oh, my. That tree is absolutely breathtaking. Please, if you haven't seen it, see it tomorrow morning when you come, please. It is absolutely breathtaking. And you know what? Where we live in Florida right now, just getting back, where we're going to church, we go down one road. There are 8 churches. You could walk into 7 of them and hear the message that Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that because of God's creation and what God has prepared, this is also why men and women in Africa respond so quickly. You see, they're not being taught for the last 30, 40 years that they came from apes. And they're not told about a Big Bang theory. When you talk to them and you say, God made that, and God made you, See, God's already laid the foundation for missions. And this is why when a missionary evangelist goes overseas, he can get 500, 1,000, 2,000 people raising their hands because they are convinced if he just would teach creation, because they believe it. And this is the God that sent Jesus to the cross. They believe it. You see, the biggest problem is then we, missionaries, we have to keep and the fruit to remain. And that's where we disciple and we mentor and we teach. And that takes years, years to do that, whether it's at home or abroad. If you were to look at Psalms 19, and we're not going to go into detail in this, because I want you to do the homework, okay? I want you to develop this. But in Psalms 19, if we look into this, there are three primary ways, and you look at this later, tomorrow, the next day, you can do it later. But there are three primary ways that God speaks to man. He speaks to man in nature because of the universe, the design, the human body. Not only to unbelievers does God speak this way. Not only to unbelievers, but how many of you, once you became a Christian, your eyes enjoyed that sunset a lot more than you've ever, ever enjoyed it? So God does speak in nature. God then, and that's in verses 1 to 6. Verses 7 to 11, he speaks through his word. Isn't it amazing how that even though down through the ages where a Bible has tried to be burnt, ripped up, destroyed, everything to get rid of it, we still have it in abundance today. Abundance today. God also speaks in the remaining verses to the soul, where God ultimately inside us, he wants and desires to communicate and deal with man. It's his gift of the Holy Spirit that will speak and lead and guide and teach. In this small chapter, we see God speaking upward. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day of their speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no place where his speech or language is not heard. It's gone throughout all the earth to the ends of the world, many translations say. That says that. The word declare actually means it to gush out. To gush it out. Boy, I'll tell you, that's what God does in some sunrises and sunsets. He just gushes out in many other ways he does it. God's love has made man able to look upward. But God has made it possible for man to look downward. All of you can touch your Bibles tonight. That is the word. And those verses right in there, and these small, short verses says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And it goes on to say that it's right, and that the statutes of the Lord, his precepts, his judgments, they're all given in the word. So man can look upward. Man looks downward. Now, Lester has a nickname in Kariba. I'll tell you his nickname. He's called Mr. Bible. They call me Mr. Bible because Lester has distributed so many Bibles, thanks to a missionary also that says containers over. And we get a lot of those Bibles, even study Bibles for leadership. But we have handed out Bibles, 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 Bibles. And then he even worked with the Gideons for a while, taking them across the lake, making sure Bibles got everywhere. But personally, he has ordered his own Bibles, bought his own Bibles through your love gifts, and he has distributed Bibles, and he is known as Mr. Bible. Now, if somebody walked in here and they said, now, Peggy, I'll give you $1 million. Well, actually, I'll give you a billion dollars. But I never want you to read the word again. I don't want you to discuss the word again. I don't want you to read a Bible, have a Bible. Don't go to church where you don't. I don't want you to have anything to do with the word of God. And I'll give you $1 billion. What would we tell him? We all in this room tell him the same thing. At least I sure hope we would. That the scripture says this. The word is more to be desired than gold. Yes, even fine gold. There's no price on it. And then God deals inward. This is how he speaks to man. And in those last verses, it's why you see the chapter ending with this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Now, as missionaries and as leaders, what is expected of us? And this is the foundation of what's on my heart, really sharing for tomorrow. What is expected of us, whether we're at home or abroad? What is expected of us as missionaries, pastors, leaders, and even children of God? It's not our qualifications. That's not what this says. It's expectations, not qualifications. If it were qualifications, I would be the first one set down here tonight. I don't have anything but a PhD. Pastor Mary, Rosemary, Sister Rosemary, would you tell the congregation what a PhD degree is? Yeah, put hubby through. In other words, he went to school. I worked and paid the bills. But I had two most wonderful teachers. I have the Holy Spirit who's taught me. And I have a husband that even when he was in Bible college and I'd come home from work, he'd say, well, I'm getting a test or I'm getting an exam. Here's the test I think they're going to give me. And he would have them typed up with the answers and he'd say, now give them to me. I had to give the questions and I had to know the answers. So I really feel like I should have a degree there, but I have a PhD. I want to talk about tomorrow. Because tonight we're not going to get into it, but tomorrow, what does God expect? What are his expectations? Okay? It's not what people expect. There's a big difference. Paul tells us about his many perils and his hardships that he was facing. And he said this, and besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. Wow. I think every one of us can identify with that in leadership. And although I left Zimbabwe physically, I feel pressures and I still care. Paul felt this from prison. I'm thankful for technology. This morning, I was on a phone call from Zimbabwe on WhatsApp, so thankful it's basically free, for over an hour counseling a young woman in Zimbabwe who is going through a very difficult time. Sometimes our congregations and the folk on the foreign field, they don't notice what we as leaders, what we're going through sometimes. Sometimes we have health issues, financial pressures. In Zimbabwe, many of our godly leaders are struggling so bad financially, they cannot. It's not even a matter of sending your children to school anymore. They don't. It's a matter of, do I put food on the table? Teenagers. We're missionaries. We got teenagers. They're spreading their wings. Oh, how difficult of a time that can be when our kids are trying to find their own feet. Now, for us, it's grandkids we're praying for. It's helping the extended family. Many times. Many leaders have part-time work. They got issues at the job place and they bring them home. So many times people don't understand what we're going through, but they still have expectations because we're a leader. And what's more, We are their leader, and they have expectations. As missionaries, we know some expectations that even come from our supporting churches. If you don't attend this conference within 4 years, we will be cutting your support. Now, Africa is really far away, and it's expensive to come. And it's hard to get away, especially in those early years. You're training. You don't have anybody in positions to do things. You're training. You're mentoring. You're discipling. Then your kids come along, and guess what? The school holidays over in Africa don't even begin to coincide with the 3 months in June, July, and August. So that's why we did not take a furlough for 16 years. But Pastor Luke and Sister Edna, they came, and I have to tell one story, Pastor Luke. We were with them in the car. Sister Edna was in the back seat with me. And it was dark, getting quite dark. And there was elephants. They kind of had their feet on the one side of the road. And over there, we drive on the left side. So they were kind of a little bit on the right side. So Lester stopped the car. And we were enjoying these elephants. But they started stepping up a little bit closer on the road. And it was time to leave. And when Lester wanted to leave, we drive a standard car over there. And when he wanted to pull away, he put the shift in the wrong gear. And it went. And Sister Edna started screaming and shouting, "That's the elephant's tusk! That's the elephant's tusk!" on the side of the car. And we're going to be talking about Most High tomorrow, Pastor Luke. But, okay, lost my place here. Where am I? Okay. But here's another one I want to mention this. But don't you love some of those questionnaires that you get that you have to fill out for all continued support? But some of them are not all bad. Some of those questionnaires say, "We love you and we're concerned. Let us know your prayer requests. Brother Chick, we love you. Lester and I really do." He writes to us on the field and says, "Hi, kids." He makes us feel very young. "We're meeting on Sunday. What do you want the Grace Chapel family to pray about?" Brother Chick, we have appreciated that. Thank you and bless you. But here was another one, and we actually had to phone Pastor Mel and Pastor Bob Mooney in California over this one. We got a questionnaire, and it said that you must answer all the questionnaires, all of them. If you do not answer all of them, your support will be discontinued. And so one of the questions was this: we want the name, addresses, and phone numbers of all your supporters. Whoa. Well, that included all the churches. That includes all my family. Actually, that even includes some unbelievers that support. What are they going to call them for? What's my family going to say? "Peggy, listen, we don't mind helping you, but we don't want people calling us." We didn't know what to do, but it was clear that if you didn't answer that questionnaire, we would lose our support. And that support really mattered to us. So this is what we did. We called our spiritual father, Pastor Mel, and we said, "Pastor Mel, what do we do? We got this questionnaire, and this is what they want." And thank you, Pastor Mel. Your wisdom and Pastor Bob's wisdom, we answered it. Maybe not the way they wanted it answered, but we did answer it. And they did not stop our support. They have continued it to the present. Praise God. But you see, expectations, people, churches, mission boards, whatever it might be, sometimes they are really challenging for us. Any missionary can say amen. It's okay. All right. Now, what do you think of when you hear a fish out of water? Well, when it comes to expectations, this is what I feel. I feel like I'm that goldfish. And I really don't know how big that bowl could get. But one thing I do know is if I'm a goldfish, I am never going to be a dolphin. No matter how hard I try to meet people and even churches' expectations. Being a spiritual leader is hard work. It's not for everybody. It is a calling. And it's not just a job. Some cannot practice what they preach. This is what Paul said in Corinthians 9:27. But I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. As we grow in our leadership and our age and our maturity, we become more and more concerned about God's expectations of us. And this is what I really want to continue with tomorrow morning. And I really hope that you can make it. What's on my heart for this convention is this: God's expectations for you and me. It's not our qualifications. It's God's expectations. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your leaders. I thank you for the beautiful feet they have. And Lord, tomorrow, as we're going to look in your words so clearly, what your expectations of us are as leaders. Lord, it's not only for us. It's for us to take it and give it to the people that you've called us to do. And so tomorrow, Lord, I ask that you will bring these people out, that they will be blessed by what they hear in the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful friendship, fellowship, the fun, the enjoyment that we've had with each other, even this night. And Lord, I thank you that you do speak through your Word, upward, downward, and inward. And Lord, help us to develop that in our lives in a greater way and to help others to be able to do that too. In Jesus' name, amen.